about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Yes, sir. It's January, what is it? January the 12th, second show of the year. So if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. Your question can be just about any area of law. Can be wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorney, healthcare, surrogate. It can be family law, real estate law, Medicaid, trying to qualify for Medicaid. Can be some problem you're having at work or with a neighbor or just in life. Something has come up that bothers you. You don't think it's right. Give us a call. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law since since October of 1984. Longest running, as far as I know, the longest running continual show with the same format in Florida. In fact, there was a very nice article about that in the Tampa Bay Magazine this month, January 2019. If you'd like to see a copy of that, if you don't get the magazine, I would be glad to send it to you. And we'll give out our email address and so forth during the course of the show. But if you have a legal question, something's bothering you, maybe you woke up in the middle of the night worried about something. Something is not right. You're not being treated right. You're not being treated fairly. You don't like something that happened and you want to know what the legal consequences or legal rights are. You have a toll-free number to call the show, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we're here to help as many people as we possibly can during the time we have. Well, it's the new year, and a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. And I've already had a few people who came in to get their estate planning done. That was one of their big resolutions, so they've already scratched that off their list. A lot of people like to put that off for some reason. And put it off and put it off and never get to it. Never make those changes you want to make. Never do the updates you want to do. Sometimes never even get started about estate planning. So I don't know why I know they say they put it off because you're dealing with dying. That's maybe a hard thing to do for most, maybe. You're dealing with parting with family, friends, possessions here on earth. You're dealing with attorneys. Those are some of the reasons people like to put this off, but really, there's no good reason to put it off. If you don't do it, then the state of Florida does it for you. And I can't imagine that would be a good choice. Since I practice in Florida, I'm licensed in Florida, you might be listening to the show. Actually, anywhere in the world, you can listen to the show on the computer. And I know we have many people that call once in a while from other states that listen to the show that they can still get the show on their cell phone or computer or what have you. But the state, every state you live in makes a will for you if you fail to do it yourself. There's the plan of distribution of your estate if you die without a proper plan. And you definitely want to have something going on to where you can take care of it yourself. Get the person appointed that you want to appoint. All right, so if you want to call the show today, it's a live show. We're broadcasting from Jacksonville today, but you have a toll-free number. You can call from anywhere. 877-943-9673. And let's go to Robert in Jacksonville. Hey, Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is sort of just checking back on some stuff. I had a lawsuit against one of the mega communications companies that I sort of brought through myself and got FCC charges, and they, you know, against some federal and so forth. And then I turned around and had an attorney sue the corporation. And he asked for, I think, like $5,000 to start the case rolling. And I said, yeah. And I told him I wanted to pay it as I go, you know, pay it up front, because another attorney said, you did everything on this case. It's done. You've got a federal judgment saying that they were fined and so forth. And then, you know, we get an award and so forth, and I go in, and he gives me a check. He never let me see anything on the hours. I said, this is ridiculous. You got tons of money on this thing. Oh, I was on the phone with him and stuff like that. And, you know, then I think, okay, he screwed the daylights out of me, because he charged me money going in. He charged me inflated rates through the deal. And then I start thinking, you know, I never got a thing from a tax form saying that I got so much money. And, of course, I went to my accountant and said, you know, I made this much money from this thing. Oh, wow. Well, I'm thinking, I don't even know how much he got from that corporation. And then I also don't know if he actually paid me, you know, a reasonable amount on the darn thing. A shady lawyer. Am I dealing with that, or should I have, let me just, should I have gotten like a 1040 or something?
Well, I think you're unhappy with the amount of money you got, period. So, and it sounds like to me you didn't get a full accounting.
Yeah.
You know, you can demand, you know, send a certified letter, demand the full accounting, demand a copy of the check, demand a copy of his hours.
Okay.
Tell him you want a form, you feel like you have been slighted and you want a formal accounting on the matter.
Okay.
And see what happens next.
Is it normal, though, to, when you get a judgment, you know, against the corporation and they hand over?
Well, let me ask you this. Did your CPA tell you that the money you received was taxable?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, it was 100% taxable.
Yeah, I paid tax on the darn thing.
Okay.
But, it, you know, it was just the figure that was that's the check I got. And I have no idea how much that corporation paid him. You know, I'm thinking, I'll bet that son of a gun probably took in like twice as much and told me, oh, well, we only got this much.
Well, you're entitled to a full, I'm sure you would be entitled to a full accounting if you question the amount of money that you get.
Okay.
So, absolutely, I would send that certified letter, or maybe even have an attorney do it for you.
Is there a statute of limitations on this? Because we're talking like 3-4 years ago.
Well, statute of limitations on contract matters generally in Florida is 5 years.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Just been hit me in the head thinking, I wonder on that guy. And then it starts, you know, I guess the piece de la resistance was, sure.
Yeah, you probably should have jumped on it right away and demanded an accounting and so forth. But, you know, you can still send a letter and see what happens.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Let's go to Al in Tampa. Al, are you
Hello?
There?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hopefully a quick question for you. I live in the Tampa area, and currently, I own a piece of property, my wife and I do, and our in-laws are also living on our property. So about 10 years ago, we added them to the deed. So it's just the four of us, myself, my wife, my mother-in-law, and father-in-law. They just, in their age, I think, got a little skittish about, well, you know, if we're not on the deed, we could get kicked off the land anytime, which, of course, we would have never done. But
is the deed with right of survivorship?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it. Is that where, if, you know, the right now four people own the property, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If one were to pass, then three people own 33 1/3%.
Yeah, if the magic words with right of survivorship are on the deed, that would be correct.
Yes. Now, you know, going forward now, we want to take, and they would like to be taken off the deed. Is that a... Is there any tax consequences of that? Is it simple paperwork or just what?
Well, that might not be a good idea because when somebody dies now, their portion of it would get a stepped up cost basis, but it's right of survivorship. And if you take their name off with another deed now, that's a gift. And then the cost basis stays the same. So what would be the reason for taking their names off? Because maybe just let life happen, and if both of them pass away, it's right of survivorship. If that's what it is, it belonged to you and your wife.
Okay. Certainly that would be the easiest thing. And they're not pushing for that. I don't know why it particularly came up at this time.
Are they contributed in paying taxes and so forth?
No, sir. They've not paid any. You know, they live in a separate house that we had built for them, and they, you know, we don't rent that to them. They live there rent free, and we pay all the taxes on both the homes.
Are there other family members involved that possibly could cause trouble at time
sir.
Of death?
No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
No, I think my advice would be just to leave it alone and let it happen naturally. Okay. And most likely you or your wife would be living when both of them pass away.
All right.
Hopefully both of you, but that's my advice, I think, would be from the little bit I know, is just let it stand and, you know, and if they insist upon it at some point, just go have a meeting with the four of you and an attorney, estate planning attorney, to explain to them the consequences of it. Their cost basis implications, their gift tax implications. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a gift tax payable, but it might have to be a gift tax return filed. Okay. So by taking their name off, it's not quite as easy as one would think when you explore all the implications of doing so.
Okay. Well, sounds great then.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. You too. All right. Phone lines are open. If you have a question of any type, give us a call. It's 877-943-9673. Hey, we're already 25% through the show, so give us a call if you have a question. Let's go to Sylvia in Tampa.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have a sick father, and I want to know what legal paperwork.
You have a what now? I'm sorry. I didn't...
A father who is sick and
older. Oh, a sick father. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to know what the health paperwork needed, not financially or not for any financial decision needed, but only for health issues to take action if something is needed for his decision, health decision, or being a POE or surrogate.
Yeah, generally you would need a durable document. You would need a durable power of attorney. You would need a health care surrogate document. And most clients also sign a living will that says if you're terminal, vegetative, unconscious, end stage, you don't want to be artificially prolonged.
Okay. Are these our standard format? I can print them online. And does it need to be recorded or something?
Well, you could probably find things online, but I think you'd be better off having an attorney draft the documents. You know, if you try to do it online, you know, I can't answer that because I don't know where you would get the online documents from. And different, there's some websites that have documents, but they aren't Florida-friendly. I mean, they might be national general documents, but there are special things in Florida dealing with homestead, Medicaid. The laws are all different in those states. It'd really be better to have an attorney. I mean, we charge like $125 for a power of attorney that has health care surrogate powers also.
So
yep. So now why not just find an attorney that has a reasonable fee and just get it done properly so you don't have to worry about it?
Okay. And these are, you have an office in Tampa?
Yes, we do. So I'll give out the phone number during the show and you can just call the number if you're interested in that and they'll get you all lined up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. God bless you. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you want to call the show, it's 877-943-9673. After I talk to Margaret in Lake Wales, we'll give out all our contact information for the firm. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
So okay.
What radio station are you listening to? 90.3 FM?
90.3.
All right, good.
Okay. My granddaughter was looking for an apartment to rent, and she found one in Lake Wales. It had a sign out front for rent, and then it gave a phone number to call. And she called that phone number, and the guy answered. But he was Spanish, so she had to go through something else that turns it into English for him. She told him about the apartment. He said, yes, it's for rent, but it won't be empty until Monday. But he said, I'll have to have the money for it by Friday if you want to go into it Monday. So he said it's $1,000 down for the first, I guess, first and last month's rent. And so she made out a money order, and she sent it to him in Orlando. And so Monday came, and they never heard anything from him. And she called the number, and he said, oh, he said the lady couldn't, there was a lady going to move out Monday. And he said she has to stay another week. So they waited another week. And they called him and asked him where they could pick up the keys. And he said, let me call you back. Well, she never heard from him, and she keeps calling and calling and calling and calling. She had a letter sent to him, and the letter returned. He never opened it, never accepted it. And he has an office in Orlando, and they were going to go over to the office, but they didn't know whether to take police with them or attorney with them or whatever, but they have the address and everything, and they got a money order that they sent $1,000, but they can't get a hold of him. He won't answer the phone now.
Well, you're probably going to have to sue him in small claims court, and you might also report the matter to the local police as a scam and stealing money from you. I would basically probably try to report it to the police first and see if they'll get involved, because if they find out that you filed a small claim suit, they'll just treat it as a civil matter. If you file your police report first, they might take over the case, and then the guy would either, you know, if they proceeded with that, he'd have to make restitution on the matter.
Well, I think they have talked to the policeman in Lake Wales or somewhere around here, and they said they don't get involved in stuff like that.
Okay, so then your recourse is to go to small claims court.
Okay.
I mean, that would be, it's under $5,000, so that would be probably the best way to proceed. You get an attorney involved, you're going to rack up some more fees.
Yeah.
The best way to probably do it is small claims court.
Does that cost you to go into, how much it cost you?
Well, filing a suit, you do it yourself, so you don't have an attorney. Filing a lawsuit might be a couple hundred dollars, but the person also becomes responsible for that.
That's all right.
So that would probably be the best way to go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right. If you'd like to contact our office, you have a toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. And so if you want to make an appointment, we have office locations all over Florida. We have offices in Pinellas, Hillsborough, Pasco, Sarasota, Manatee. We have offices in Lakeland, Davenport, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages, St. Augustine, up to the Jacksonville area. First meeting is absolutely free. To discuss Wilson Trust and things of that nature. There's no charge for that first meeting to review documents you might existingly already have. And then you have a flat fee schedule that we have on our website, and we discuss with you if you want us to do something. The toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me, my email address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Let's go to Susan in Bradenton. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I spoke with you about a year ago because over this kind of same matter, but now I have a different question. There had been an administrator of my ex-husband's, not will, but his probate, and she has been cashing dividend checks for the last 17 years that are held in joint custody of myself and my ex-husband. And so we are now in probate court. Unfortunately, we couldn't use you because it has to be done where he passed, which is in California. But now my question is, I do have the company has ComputerShare has transferred the account to me, and I'm getting the dividend checks. I'm not cashing them because we still have an action. I do not know for sure that I'm entitled. So I'm not cashing them, but now that it's getting the end of the year has passed, I'll probably be getting a 1099. Now, because I have, I was told by one person who's just a office worker that as long as I'm not cashing the checks, I don't have to claim them.
Well, I think if you return them, that might give you a good reason to, but if you're going to maintain them, the company's probably going to issue a W-9 or K-1 or whatever form they're going to send. Mm-hmm. So they've issued the check. They don't wait till the check is cleared before they send you money. So then they file that with the IRS. So how much money are we talking about?
We're talking about anywhere from $1,000 to $1,200 every 4 months. Or quarterly, every 3 months.
And when do you expect to have a decision about whether you're entitled to the money or not?
Hopefully this year. We have our first meeting in February, and then depending upon which way it goes, then it will go on to the next. Then we'll go and further with it.
All right, so you don't have an attorney or CPA involved with you at this point?
I do, but in California. And she didn't know anything about tax, so I'm just wondering Florida tax, and that because...
Well, there's not going to be a Florida... No, it's not. There's no Florida tax involved.
Oh, it's a federal.
Yeah, so your attorney should know about the federal tax. I think my advice would probably be to, since you've... If you're going to get a W-9 or a K-1 showing that you received this money, mm-hmm. and it's income taxable money, assume that for a second, then I would probably advise you to probably pay the tax and then work out whatever. Your attorney should really advise you on this, though, because I don't know all the other parties involved. And if you had to return the money, would there be an agreement, an adjustment for the taxes? Or whether the money should be returned now, so you have proof you returned the money, never cashed the check. Your attorney, you have several choices, and it's a federal tax issue. It's not Florida has no tax to worry about.
Uh-huh, that's right, yeah.
So your attorney should make that decision for you, actually. They have the file. They should make the decision for you. And if your attorney doesn't know, they should get the advice of maybe a CPA that would help. You know, you make that decision on the case.
Right. I wouldn't have to go to an IRS person to find that out. Or
are you the executor of the estate? Or
no, I'm not. The person that has been cashing the checks for 17 years, she is the administrator.
She's been cashing the checks. And how did you get the checks sent to you instead of her?
Because she had requested that the stock get transferred to her name. Because as soon as the remainder of his immediate family passed, then she submitted that for it to be transferred into her name.
Yeah, so that never happened, though.
No, because it was... held in joint tenancy my name and his name, and it had never been taken out of that. So,
yeah.
And she didn't, she's just been cashing the checks. She didn't put them into a special account. She had never notified.
Yeah, you know, a CPA needs to untangle that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I think you're going to be liable, though, for taxes if you receive the checks and you get a W-9 or a K-1 or whatever. You're going to be liable. Then you got to deal with the IRS and or then try to get the company to do a corrective 1099 or whatever form you're going to get. You're going to have it corrected if you don't pay taxes on it, just to show the IRS you're involved in making sure this was, you know, assigned to the right person.
Right, yeah.
So you're going to have a mess regardless unless you jump on it.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'll file an extension, and then that will give me some time for the court, hopefully, to make a determination.
Well, there you go. That'd be a good plan. They should be dealing with it. So,
yeah.
All right. Those checks might not be valid.
I appreciate your show.
Those checks might not be valid to cash after 6 months, though. We've got to look at that, too.
That's true.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Andrew in Lakeland.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning.
Hey, man, love the show. Simple question for you. My family owns a small business, and we have a bunch of people that show up every now and then. They're, you know, inebriated and drunk and everything. What do you have to do to actually get a trespass on somebody? Do I just call the local authorities? I'd like this person trespassed, and they take care of it, or do we have to go to, like, court?
No, you have to go to court and get an injunction.
Okay, so I called the local sheriff's department. They show up and write a trespass warrant, or they issue them, or say, look, you need to leave the property, and then we go to a small client. How does this, can you explain that to me real quick?
Well, you could do it that way, or you could just, have you issued a letter or anything, or?
No, what it is, we own a little small business, and down the road, there's a bar there, and we have a bunch of drunks that'll come in, and they've broken a couple of things, and look, I've asked them to leave, and one guy sat on his cell phone, you know, did the whole I'm recording you thing, so I called the sheriff. And by the time the sheriff was there, he had called me. I said, hey, man, just walked off. He goes, okay. So, you know, when he called me, the sheriff never made it there. So I was going to ask him, you know, we didn't get it on the phone very much. But, you know, that was my question is, if someone was staying on the property that we own, can I just say, look, you're trespassing. I need you to leave. I mean, or does the sheriff give them writing right then, you know, print it off on the computer and say, here, you're no longer allowed to be here?
Well, I would. So have you tried to work with the sheriff on this before?
No, I haven't. We haven't had this issue before.
Well, why don't you do a test case? Next time it happens, call the sheriff. Tell them they're trespassing. See if they'll come out and give them a trespass ticket or a warning.
Okay.
And then once you have that, and then they come back and violate that, they'll be in worse trouble.
Okay, so it's nothing where if the sheriff does show up and say, look, all right, you need to trespass, we have to go to court further and say, look, we want a permanent injunction or you can't come back. Or, you know, once the sheriff's there, does he take over and we don't have to go to court? I guess that's the...
Once the sheriff issues a trespass warning or a ticket, then they would be prevented from trespass. The second offense is worse. So I think I would just try to work through the police department and getting people off the property by trespassing first.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, awesome. All right, thank you very much, man. Appreciate the show. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. We're over halfway through the show. If you want to call, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. It's toll-free at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Isabel in Tampa. Hey, Isabel. Or is Isabel there? All right. Hey, Isabel, if you're still listening and you want to call back in, please do. Be glad to take your call. And if you if we can help you, I'd be glad to. All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, the phone lines are open now. as Isabel dropped off, at 877-943-9673. Anything I can do for you, I'd be more than glad to help. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, if you're interested in updating your estate plan or even doing an estate plan or having your estate plan reviewed, this poster sheet would be very helpful to you. It's a full-size poster sheet with 5 articles about estate planning. There's an article about what your options are in estate planning. There's an article about how trust work. If you choose that, you get to see a little diagram of how a trust works. You get to see a chart on cost of probate. You get, which, and you'd probably be shocked at the cost of probate that might be involved in your estate. You one of the articles is a little comparison between your option and consequences of doing wills and trust. So if you'd like this free estate planning poster sheet, we give out lots of these every week for people who are calling in to ask for them. You can get it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, which is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address, 727-667-3967. And be glad to give that out one more time during the end of the show. But if you'd like to receive that poster sheet, I'd be more than glad to get it to you. If you'd like to just call the office for an appointment, a free estate planning review appointment, again, that phone number is 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Chris in Clearwater. Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. My best friend's father passed away, and she was unaware of it. She found out about it on Facebook. And his wife has not filed his will. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to force that to happen? Or, I mean, I think she's supposed to do it within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, right? Well, if you're in possession of someone's will and they pass away, the statute says it must be filed within 10 days. So usually somebody who wants that will filed for whatever reason knows the person has and hasn't filed it. You have an attorney write the person a letter reminding them there's a statute that says the will must be filed within 10 days under Florida law. And then once it gets filed, it becomes a public record also, and other people have access to it. Let's say this. So if the husband died and the husband and wife owned everything together jointly with right of survivorship, there's still the statute that the will must be filed, but the surviving spouse would get everything in that case by operation of law, with the words with right of survivorship on the assets.
Okay.
So does a person who would like the will being filed have some knowledge that the deceased had assets just in their name?
No, she just knows that she was in her father's will. She doesn't know exactly what.
Yeah, she probably, but I'm guessing, you know, so I'd still pursue having the will filed. But just following the will, and the will says 100% to my wife, and if she's not living then too, and your best friend is one of the contingent beneficiaries, if the wife wasn't living, she's not going to be any better off at the end of the day. And sometimes pushing the envelope a little bit is your best friend the daughter of the surviving spouse?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because the mother could certainly...
No. The daughter of the deceased.
Yeah, okay. So you know, the will needs to be filed, so it should be filed. Okay. So if she wants to push that, that's fine. But if husband and wife had reciprocal wills, for example, that left everything to one another, and then they had contingent beneficiaries that included your best friend, and your best friend... I guess she doesn't have a relationship with the stepmom?
No, not in the last maybe year. They were together over 20 years, but yeah. Not in the last year, because she's an RN, and she didn't agree with how they were taking care of him in his last days.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so things got a little difficult. But she called her own children when he died, but not my best friend. So,
yeah.
Kind of a cruddy situation, but so she basically just needs to get an attorney and have this woman compelled to file.
Yep, but that may or may not help her, though, because she could be...
At least she'll know.
100%. It's, you know, if the will says 100% to my wife, and if she's not living then to my daughter, then she's not going to get anything if everything was owned jointly with right of survivorship.
Right. Okay.
So, Thank you so much. And then if the wife, by some chance, did the same will going the other way, let's just give you an example. Suppose that both wills are the same. They left everything to one another. And then if that person wasn't living, the will says then to, and let's say the deceased left it to his child and equally to his children and the children of his wife. And let's say they both had reciprocal wills that did that. And now the surviving spouse can change their will. So it sounds like she might change it anyway just to leave everything to her children.
Yeah, that's what she's thinking.
But if she would be included in the wife's will now and never changed it, she'd still get a share. But if she causes a little trouble, they would probably most definitely take her out.
This woman came to the marriage with absolutely nothing. So I don't believe there would ever be a reciprocal.
Yeah.
You know, to his children. Well, he made it clear years ago that, you know, his children would be taken care of upon his death financially. So I think that's where the
concern. All right, but she has a right to have an attorney make or file the will. So that was the answer to your question, though.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. Last call, if the executor does not file a will within 10 days of the death, what is there a penalty for that, or what happens?
You know, well, okay, so not usually. I call it an enforcement statute. So I call it that because if I have knowledge that the person has possession of the will, which is a key element. They have to have possession of the will. And they haven't filed it. They get a letter saying, look, here's a statute that says you must file it within 10 days. If it's been 20 days and they file it, then you're not going to have a penalty or fine or any real consequence.
Okay.
If you don't, you get the letter and you still don't file it, then you can try to push to court to get involved to make them file it or be in contempt of court.
Oh, okay.
But that's when you write a letter and they still ignore you and blow you off, you petition for contempt of court by not following the will, basically.
Okay. Second question. If I loan a ladder to a neighbor and he falls off a ladder and gets hurt, am I liable?
Well, was the ladder defective in your question?
No, the ladder is not defective.
No, I would say generally no.
Okay.
I think if you gave it to him and then had a loose step or something and you didn't disclose it, you might have some liability and you had knowledge of the defect in the ladder and you gave it to him, they might be able to weave some type of case against you. But with no defect in the ladder, just because he fell off the ladder because of his weak knee or whatever the reason was, I don't think you'd be liable.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I enjoyed your show.
That's a good question, though. Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to James in Savannah. Hey, James.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good. Now, you know I'm licensed in Florida only, so let me start with that since you're in Georgia. So,
yes, sir. So question is, does Florida recognize Georgia concealed carry permit?
You know, I don't have that answer committed to memory. Do you go online? Do you?
I have not, but
you can, though.
I can, yeah.
You can Google concealed weapon reciprocal between Florida and Georgia. I'm sure there are a bunch of websites that come up with that answer very quickly. I just don't have it by memory. If you can't find it, I'll give you my email address, and I can find it for you really quickly and get back to you.
We'll take a look online there. We'll give that a go.
Yeah, my email address, if you can't, though, is just Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And I assume your question is, if you're just traveling between state lines and you have a concealed weapons, do you live in Georgia?
Yes, sir.
So your question is, if you're driving down to Florida and you have a concealed weapon, would Florida police accept the fact that you have a concealed weapons permit in Georgia when you're carrying your weapon in Florida?
Precisely.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you can't find the answer online, shoot me an email, and I'll definitely get you an answer pretty quickly on that.
Very good, sir. Thanks for the help. Good day.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's a good question. And I have a concealed weapons permit, and so that would be a good question. There are some states. There's this website that has what states are reciprocal and which are not. So if you're traveling, like, from Florida to Vermont, you could have a problem in a few of those states. So it's good to, when you're traveling and you're taking your weapon with you, to actually go online and figure out which states are reciprocal and which states you might have a problem with. Let's go to Mark in Tampa. Hey, Mark. Mark, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
All right. What can we do for you, sir?
Yes, sir. Just calling to find out, how would an insurance company possibly treat a person who was injured in an auto accident? It was a minor impact, not much damage to the vehicle at all, but it aggravated an older injury that they had previously. Like a herniated disc,
mm-hmm,
in the neck area. How would they how would they handle that? The company that's from the at fault driver, would they?
They would definitely adjust the amount.
Okay.
Because you had a prior injury,
right?
So you wouldn't get the full amount as if the current injury had caused the whole injury.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get less because you had a prior injury.
Be a case of just proving that it aggravated the existing injury?
Yeah, it would be a case of, now, a good personal injury attorney has a group of doctors they use,
uh-huh,
on evaluations, and basically it's all how the medical report is written is a big factor in determination of what you'd be entitled to.
Okay. So do you think that would be something to consider getting an attorney for, to pursue something like that?
Yeah, it was a fairly current accident? Yeah, I have one there in the Tampa-St. Pete area I could refer to if you want to contact me.
Okay, all right. Would it be a situation where it aggravated an old injury, and maybe, I don't know if it caused a new one or not. We're still trying to determine that, but that would be something for the doctors.
Yeah, the doctor would include that in the medical report.
Okay, all righty. So you think it's definitely worth something to pursue?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I appreciate the information.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Greg in Jacksonville.
Hi, this is Greg. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call, Mr.
Pittman. My pleasure.
I'm calling on behalf of a neighbor of mine who's actually dealing with some funeral arrangements right now. And basically, his father-in-law suddenly passed away about a week ago. The family has come to learn that there was no will in place, that all of the property, bank accounts, pensions, and things like that were in the name of the father, not as husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're at their wit's end right now, trying to figure out how to do things. The mother can't use the account. pay for funeral expenses and things like that. The second part of the situation is that the deceased had a pacemaker, and they're trying to they want to have him cremated, but they want to take the pacemaker out because there's a recorder in there. But according to the people who do the cremations, they more or less sort of just without care take it out, and it's the understanding is that most likely whatever data is in memory would be lost. So those are the two things, and I'm just trying to help them out a little bit with trying to help them figure some things out.
All right, well, the assets in the name of the deceased husband would have to go through probate if he wasn't jointly held with his wife or didn't have a beneficiary on the accounts.
Okay. There was no beneficiary.
All right, so then you need a probate attorney to...
Okay.
And the wife would be in the best position to take action on that, to be appointed, since she would probably be the one with the most interest in the matter, to be appointed as the personal representative of the estate.
Okay.
The pacemaker, if you can't get the funeral director to do what you want to do, you might need a court order. Through the probate court, you might need to have a court order.
Okay. Sort of kind of figured out that's probably what would have to happen. So, okay, so they would need to go through probate. That's the bottom line on question number one.
Yes. Yeah, if the assets are just in the husband's name, they would have to go through probate to come out, and then the wife would be entitled to... Was this a first marriage or second marriage?
It's only marriage.
Only marriage.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's a good chance the wife would be able to get everything if it's one marriage and just only children from that marriage.
Right. That's the scenario.
Yep.
Okay. When I see them again, I'll let them know. And do you have an office in Jacksonville?
I do. And if she needs to talk to me, I'll give you my cell number. I'm here. I'm here now in Jacksonville this week. I'm here at least every other week. I'd be glad to talk to her on the phone. We do probate cases all over the state of Florida. So I mean, I'd be more than happy to help if she needs help.
Okay.
I'll give you my cell number because I give it out as a text anyway. So it's 727.
Okay. Okay.
667-3967. And like I said, I'm in Jacksonville, you know, right now, so I'll be here for a bit. So.
Okay. I'll let them know. Thank you, Mr. Pippin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So if you would like to contact our office, I don't know if I'll have time. George, I'm going to... give you my cell number too and ask you to call me around 9 o'clock if you would. So George is our last caller. So it's 727-667-3967. And I'll be glad to talk to you and answer your question as well. If you'd like to contact our office, we have a toll free office number, 1-800. If you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, you have a toll free number, 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com. If you'd like to text me, it's 727-667-3967. So if you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet or want to contact our office for an appointment, you have a toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. If you need a speaker for your group, I've got one coming up each of the next several weeks. I love doing that, so it's absolutely no charge. It doesn't matter the size of the group. It could be 20, 30, or 300. It doesn't matter. If my calendar is available, I'll be there. You kind of pick the topic. We pick the topic of discussion, how long it takes, and glad to be there. Here's Attorney Joe Pippin. Stay tuned for Howard and Angela. Best real estate show in Jacksonville on the air. So you stay tuned, and you have a great weekend. So long.